I do not think it was legitimate. No, I think at that point, Evans knew what was going to happen regarding his agent, regarding Twitter. And I think he took himself out of the picture. We'll see what happens later this week. I'm going with the buffalo shrimp as long as it's not too tangy and not too hot. You know, some people, they can't get stuff hot enough. They want the hot sauce. I'm not going for that, Steve. I'm not wrecking my delicate abdomen.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, Labor Day Sage, on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. He's Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here, and we've got a lot to talk about and not much to talk about at the same time, Ira. We'll explain that in a moment, but Bill Curry Ford is open today. Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, right there a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. And go to BillCurryFord.com. That's the family name, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. You can shop online, see all the incredible specials. But you can also see all the things that we always talk about, which is their nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles. They've got $500 for you just for ordering a new vehicle, no deposit. It's so easy. They have their concierge ordering service. And Sean Sullivan gives you that gift card. He is the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, but he's also the big boss at Bill Curry Ford, and he will help you personally. That's not a joke. Whatever it is, he wants to help. He loves Bucks fans. He loves the Bucks as much as you do or more. I hate to, you know, even talk about anyone's fandom, but Sean is crazy when it comes to the Bucks. BillCurryFord.com. You can find Sean there. He'll help you. Ask him any question you need. Ask him for that Ira Kaufman discount. And Sage, a lot of our listeners unfortunately have taken on the services of Florida's Elite Restoration in the aftermath of this storm. We appreciate you supporting Florida's Elite Restoration, as we talk about all the time, but we're sorry that you had to use them. But floridaselite restoration.com should be in your disaster plan. Check them out today. And if you find mold, if you've got storm damage, whatever it is, you call them 24/7. They will help you. They will go to bat for you with your insurance company. And maybe you only got a scare this time, but check them out so you have them ready when you need them. floridaselite restoration.com. Owner Josh Martin has 14 years experience on the insurance side of the business as an adjuster, so he knows how to help you and make sure you don't get ripped off. His team members do as well, and they service the entire Bay Area. floridaselite restoration.com. Sage, we'll talk about what you're going to be doing on Sunday, but how are you, man?
Doing well on this Labor Day, Stephen, as the U.S. Open tracks into its second week. And you know, I like these second-week matchups. They get more intriguing. And lo and behold, as a loyal Spectrum customer, paying them a lot of money every damn month, I've got no access to ESPN. A message comes up on my screen. Instead of Novak Djokovic hitting backhands, I got a message. We're trying to work this out with the Disney people, but so far, we haven't had any luck. This is Charter Communications that runs Spectrum, and here comes the NFL on the horizon. So I'm going to have to make some hard decisions. I think I'm going to have to leave Spectrum. And if you're listening, you got 3 days to get this resolved, or I'm going elsewhere.
You sound like Mike Evans, Ira. You sound like Mike Evans out there.
I need an agent, Steve. I need a TV agent. That's what I need.
We'll talk more about it later, Sage, but you will be Sunday at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Olmerton Road. The beautiful Big Storm Brewery tap room, gorgeous covered outdoor seating, tons of it, great sight lines, Wi-Fi, audio, fantastic menu, and indoors, inside the tap room, nice, modern, great setup. It's a great time for Bucks fans, and Ira's going to roll in 11:45. We're going to have some great times ahead. It's always great passion on opening day. The hope is alive. It's real. The energy's flowing. Great menu. Check it out. BigStormBrewery.com. And if you're not coming out, grab your Bromosa Tangerine IPA. Lee was drinking that all weekend. And plenty of other great Big Storm beers. Find them all at BigStormBrewery.com, where you can see all the tap rooms and Big Storms in most public stores. Great stuff ahead with the Sage. Now, Ira, Mike Evans, we are devoting this whole podcast to Mike Evans because there's a lot going on. There's a lot of misinformation and freak out and all kinds of things going on. Let me set a stage for you and Lee real quick, Ira, and we need your perspective on this, and Lee and I have strong opinions. Mike Evans decided out of the blue, if you will, that, hey, he doesn't have a contract from the Bucks, an extension that he wants. He's under contract this year. So he sent his agent out going rabid dog, you know, screaming from rooftops and calling people and putting out Twitter announcements and all kinds of things, basically saying, hey, we don't have a contract and we don't even have an offer. And Mike's upset. He's this, he's that. And then Evans is clarifying because he obviously didn't like what his agent said. And Evans says he doesn't want to hold out and, you know, all kinds of things going on, flying everywhere. And at the end of the day, a lot of people are focused on the fact that the agent seemed to target Bucks ownership, sort of saying, hey, Jason Light, Mike Greenberg, his assistant GM, they've been professional, but we don't have an offer. And that means that ownership hasn't cleared an offer. Where do you stand on all this, Ira?
I thought it was a very, very strange statement by Evans' agent. Who singles out Mike Greenberg by name in a contract impasse? I mean, what's going on here? Obviously, the agent is trying to turn the pressure up on the Glazers. But from what I can tell, it's not like Jason Light wants to lavish this shiny new contract on Mike Evans, and the Glazers are saying no. I think Jason Light is being real about this. We'll get into it more as this podcast continues, but I think the Bucks are doing exactly the right thing. Exactly the right thing. Evans is under contract. If he doesn't want to play this season, that's his decision. The Bucks will move on. I don't think they're going to acquiesce to Mike Evans if there is a holdout, and I don't think there will be. And Mike Evans is going to be a Buck right now. Him and Godwin give Baker Mayfield a fighting chance. A fighting chance to succeed this fall. And if it doesn't happen and they have to change quarterbacks and nothing's working, I think Mike Evans is going to be a very valuable piece because, Lee, I know it's very, very early in the college football season, but Steve was mentioning Sean Sullivan, who's got a keen eye towards college talent. Sullivan said he hasn't seen a quarterback class like this in about three decades, Lee. And I take Sean Sullivan's stuff very seriously. Your boy Michael Penix had a huge opening day. We know what Caleb Williams is doing. Drake May was very strong. There's others. This is one hell of a quarterback prospect draft. In my opinion, the Bucks are going to end up with one of them. And Mike Evans may play a central role in future developments.
Sean Sullivan has also fallen in love with Deion's son, quarterback.
He doesn't have the body of work that Caleb Williams won the Heisman last year. And Drake May was great, and so was Penix, by the way, who's a southpaw. Yeah, I'll make one more statement before I let you weigh in here. Frankly, and it's not easy to shock me, gentlemen. It's not. I've been through a lot in my 29 years on this earth, but I got to tell you, maybe it's a small sample size, but the sentiment by some Buck fans, like, I'm not going to be a Buck fan if Mike Evans doesn't finish his career in Tampa, and Mike Evans has to be a Buck, and don't mess around with Mike Evans. Lee, this kind of stuff happens all the time. All the time. And Steve just put out my last column, and where I had, you know, 6, 8, 10 of the biggest names in NFL history, including some quarterbacks, legendary quarterbacks, that ended up getting released, ended up getting traded. It happens all the time. Devontae Adams was just traded, Lee, a couple of years ago. Is Mike Evans better than Devontae Adams? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's close. You know, the Packers didn't think twice. We're shipping this guy out. You got to be, your allegiance has to be to the franchise and not one player. I'm sorry. I hope Mike Evans stays a Buck. I think if things work out well this year, all the way around, he will be a Buck, and he'll get that extension. But I think Jason Light's keeping his options open, and I think that's absolutely the right thing to do.
I'm pretty much in the ballpark with you, Ira, that you know you have to look out for the franchise. And I understand that signing a wide receiver at 30 is hit or miss. It's maybe 50-50 if they continue to have a very good year or they don't. You know, Julio Jones' example, the wide receiver that went from Houston to DeAndre Hopkins. He's another example of a guy that signed a big contract that was probably a regrettable contract, So it's really hit or miss. It really is. So, you know, the Glazers, I think this is a word that no one's used. Glazers have to be responsible, as does Jason Light. Unlike Steve, I think what little leverage Evans has, it's right now. It's not at the end of the season. I think he's got some leverage now. I don't think he's got any leverage after the season. And here's the element about a leverage I haven't heard anybody mention. We think Todd Bowles is, what do you think is going through his mind? He's fighting for his job, quite likely. He needs wins. You don't think he wants Evans on the field? Sure he does. Pressure on Light or talk to the Glazers? I would think so, because his job might be on the line. So that's some leverage right there. In the big picture, I almost want to say I side with the Glazers in this. I do understand everybody wants Mike Evans to finish his career for the Bucks, extend his 1,000-yard streak. Jason Light sure sounds like it. I mean, Light talked to Pompey a couple weeks ago and goes, I can't see Mike playing anywhere else. Now, just based on that quote, does it sound like the Glazers told him, no, Mike Evans is not re-signing? I don't think so, but that's speculation there. But here's something that, I guess I'm the only guy that pointed this out, and it got people all ticked off on social media. You know, Mike Evans had this mysterious statement to ESPN, I haven't seen it anywhere else, Friday morning, I believe. In that statement, Mike said, I don't want to hold out. He didn't say, I'm not holding out. He said, right. I don't want to hold out. I'm just going by the words on his statement that I would hope that he wrote, not an agent. He didn't say, I'm not holding out. He said, I don't want to hold out. Now, the deadline his agent sent out, like, we need contract negotiations by this date or they're done, happens to be the very same day the Bucks leave Tampa International Airport for Minneapolis. Coincidence? You tell me.
Sage Lee, here's the thing where I sit at it. Mike Evans with this, he obviously sat down with his agent and approved all this nonsense. You know, I think they were foolish in how they went about it, very much so. But he approved that, hey, we're gonna lash out and light the volcano and see what happens. But nobody ever once implied or even considered or hinted that they would ask for a trade. And you want to leave a team? That's what you do. You ask for a trade. You ask out. He never asked out. Not once. Because he wants to stay. And and you have leverage when you say, I want to leave. You have no leverage when you don't say you want to leave. And that's kind of where I sit with it. So Evans, if he sits out, he's going to lose money. He's going to lose his streak. He's going to lose his 10-year history or 9-year history of being a great guy, a team first guy, and he'll lose all of that. And I don't think he wants to do any of that. And if he really wanted to leave, you just say, look, you know, we want to trade. If I can't get a new deal, then it's too much disrespect for me. So I think it's all a bunch of hot air, a bunch of nonsense. I agree with you that it's good business to wait, but I don't think it's good business to get rid of Mike Evans unless he looks like crap, because I can't start looking at a list of guys and their history at 30, because you got the player in front of you. You know the player, you know his fitness level, you know his commitment, you know all those things. They got to evaluate him for what he is. And I think the big X factor is Chris Godwin. This Mike Evans stuff's a no-brainer if you don't have Chris Godwin on the roster, but you don't even know necessarily, the fans would argue, which guy is more valuable or better right now. So you don't even really know what you got, and you don't want to pay. If you think Mike Evans might be your number two receiver, you don't want to give him $25 million. So, I mean, I just think the decisions will get easier after the season, Sage, but I wouldn't trade him. I mean, I'm still not buying that. I got other guys I would trade on defense first.
To me, guys, the X factor in this Evans impasse situation is very simple. There's a tremendous amount of uncertainty about the 2023 Buccaneers, and I think that's the context we have to have this discussion in. I make the point, Lee, in my column, I think it's a big, big central point. Suppose Brady was here and he, you know, was 38 years old and he was going to be he's under contract for the next 3 or 4 years to the Bucs. The Evans deal would already be done. There'd be no question about it. They'd give him the money and that's it, because the Bucs are going to be competitive. They got Tom Brady. Well, guess what, Lee? They don't have Tom Brady. We know what the national people think and the Vegas odds makers. Not that that's a big deal, but even Jason Light and Todd Bowles, they don't know how good this team's going to be. Under Tom Brady, you're not going 5-12. Lee, you're not going 5-12 with Tom Brady, but you might go 5-12 or worse this year. You might. We don't know. You have a lot of uncertainty at quarterback, and that's just a fact. And Lee, we talked about it on this podcast. Most outside observers think that Mayfield's going to, you know, land on his ass, and it's not going to work. And you'll see Kyle Trask by midseason. That could happen. So my main point is, Lee, reassess. Evans is under contract. It's up to him if he wants to show up or hold out. That's on him, not the Bucks. You reassess. If you're 5-3, let it roll. Finish out the season. If you're 2-6, somebody calls up, we want Mike Evans. You got to listen, Lee. You got to listen. For the sake of the franchise, you got to do what's in the best long-term interest of this team. It's not all in, this is the year, we got Brady, we got to do everything around. It's not like that anymore. And you have to make an adjustment, and I think Light's making the adjustment. He's got 1 foot in 2023 and 1 foot looking at the draft. And I think the Glazers are right there with them, and I'm right there with them, because we don't know what's going to happen with this team. They could fall on the balls of their ass, and that wasn't going to happen with Brady, but it could happen. And, you know, you talk about Devin White as a trade piece, maybe. Mike Evans, maybe. Godwin, maybe. I got to get into, if things are falling apart, Lee, I got to get into that 2024 draft in a hurry. In a hurry.
Unless Devin White rebounds and has a 2020-like season. If it comes between Mike Evans and Devin White, to me, that's a no-brainer. Bye-bye, Devin. I'm sorry. Now, again, if he has a 2020 season, I rethink that big time. But if he plays like he did last year, forget it. The other thing is, Steve, you have to save that soundbite Ira had for balls of his ass.
Yeah, Ira said that before. I think it was a couple of years ago, and I asked him to explain it, and he actually did. I guess it's like an expression from years ago, but yeah, it's a good one.
The former Lightning executive named Mel Roll, he used to say it all the time. They're on the balls of their ass. I thought it was a great expression.
Hey, Ira, a couple things here, because I smell a little bit, maybe, I don't know, some things feel a little hypocritical here, but first I wanted to say, Devin White, I mean, I think he's a factor here too. I wrote about this. They just spent time this spring telling Devin White, hey, we love you, you're a hell of a player, yeah, you're not the legend that you were in 2020, but you led this team in tackles, you're the heartbeat of the defense, you're this, you're that. And they spent all offseason telling him, we don't have the money to write a big contract. And I'm sure they told him, hey, this is what we told Antoine Winfield's agent. This is what we told Mike Evans' agent. And we just don't have the money. We're stuck. This was the price of Tom Brady. And we got to wait till the end of the year. No matter what, it's not you. I'm sure they told him that. So how do they go out and sign Mike Evans now without creating a total mess within the team? I think it's just simple basics. That's what they told everybody. Nobody likes it, but that's just the reality. So I got to throw that out there. You can comment on that, Ira. But if you say the Bucks are 2-6, and then at that point they might need to redirect the franchise and go for the draft next year, well, I don't know why that has to be getting rid of Mike Evans. If you want to move up in the draft and you're serious at 2-6, you just be serious about it. And you put John Wolford in at quarterback, and that's it. And you also get rid of maybe a couple of smaller pieces that might mess you up in little ways, but you just put in Wolford and don't play any games. So I don't want to see Mike Evans traded for a better draft pick and capital when we could just put in John Wolford and go 2-15 and really go for it. That's just where I sit.
Well, Steve, at that point, you could have a hell of a battle. You know, loser takes all with teams like Arizona, right, Lee? They're in full Caleb Williams mode, and they're going to be tough to beat in that regard, Lee. I mean, they stink. The Bucks have some players. They got more players than the Cardinals do. Well, let's be honest. They do.
We're not predicting this, or at least I'm not. Let's say the Bucks stink this year. I think it's fair to say the Glazer family might go after an offensive coach. That's the way the world works. See, usually when you replace a coach, you flip from defense to offense and vice versa.
I think that's likely, yeah.
You think the offensive coach is going to want Mike Evans instead of Devin White?
Well, Lee, to me it comes, I understand your Devin White angle, Lee, and I agree in principle. But Steve, I'll go back to this. Could you get more for Mike Evans than Devin White if Devin White is not raising his game? Mike Evans, you know, when he plays, he's outstanding. We don't know about Devin White, so to me, it's what kind of return you can get for the guy. maybe you can fetch a one for a 30-year-old wide receiver. Maybe. I don't think you can reclaim a number one for Devin White at this point. Steve? No.
If the Glazer family would replace Bowles with a defensive coach, I would assume he'd want Devin White over Mike Evans. That's just the way these guys think.
I think your prediction is validly that if things go haywire, which none of us are rooting for,
no,
you know, and Bowles is replaced, I think it would be an offensive coach, Steve, because at that point they probably have a rookie quarterback start.
Sage, I'm putting it, I want to get a number from you, I'm putting it at a 0% chance that Evans misses a practice this week or misses Sunday's game and does any kind of holdout whatsoever. Where do you guys put it?
15% that he holds out, 15%. And Lee, I think it's worth mentioning, you know, in this Mike Evans discussion, and everybody knows this, even me, you know, who's talking about Mike Evans as a potential trade chip. The guy has been a quintessential Buccaneer, Lee. I mean, we got to be honest. Not only his production off the field, I mean, a tremendous representative for the team. It reminds me of Stamkos with the Lightning. Excellent, excellent representative for the organization. Always says the right things. Never gets in trouble. Charitable foundations left and right. Mike Evans has been a fantastic Buccaneer, Lee, but I'm looking out for the franchise, and whatever happens with Mike Evans, his legacy is assured.
Yeah, he's the ultimate Buck. I mean, you think of guys like Derek Brooks, Warwick Dunn to a lesser degree, and that's Mike Evans.
Lee, do you have a number on him missing practice or a game?
Yeah, Ira did a Price is Right thing on me. I was going to say 20%, and Ira went a little bit lower to win the prize.
So, Sage, though, I think it's an important nuance. If you think there's a 15% chance that he holds out, you know, skips week one and goes from there, do you think he would have the audacity to practice all week and be a part of the game plan and all the things getting ready for week one and then pull it out, or he's not going to be there today at practice or Wednesday when they get in pads?
I will go with the latter, which is he's not going to pull a surprise and not get on the plane Saturday after practicing all week. That's not Mike Evans. Mike Evans is always a classy individual. Lee, if he's going to hold out, it's going to start early in the week. He's not going to pull a late-week surprise.
I wouldn't think so, but you know what? I wouldn't have expected what happened last weekend. So
I know.
I pull it out.
On that late surprise front, I thought it was really weird. Now, it's not going to change the Bucs record, but I thought it was awfully strange that Todd Bowles said last week, well, we may not name captains for a few weeks. I don't know if I'll have the players vote. Maybe I'll pick the captains. I don't know. No rush. Do you think any of this has anything to do with, A, the Mike Evans situation, that, hey, Bowles doesn't want Evans voted captain and then not show up week one? Or do you think it has anything to do with his concern that, hey, maybe they won't pick Mayfield as a captain and I want to go in this season with my life on the line with a strong quarterback leading the way? And do you think there's anything there to it? What do you make of this weirdness? You know, 90% of the NFL teams just have the guys vote a week before and they come in on Labor Day and announce it.
I think both scenarios could be a factor in this. You got the Mayfield one and the Mike Evans one. I think the Bucs are looking at this the way I'm looking at this. That's the Buck hierarchy, the brain trust, you know, from the owners on down. They're really unsure about what they got. And how can you not be unsure? You just won 8-9 with Tom Brady, and now you don't have Brady. You just have to be flexible. Things have changed. The arc of this franchise is under question. Which way are they going? They could bottom out this year. One thing we haven't talked about is what if everything goes well? I mean, what if they start 5-3? They got Evans and Godwin. And then, you know, if Mayfield's playing well and they end up winning 10 games, I think they'll go forward and take care of Evans at that point. It's not going to be a six-year deal for a 31-year-old receiver, but I think they'll ensure that Evans retires as a Buck, because at that point, they're not desperate. They're not desperate for Caleb Williams if Mayfield has a good year. He's not old, Lee. Mayfield's not old. It's not crazy to think Mayfield can do what he did in 2020. It's not crazy. Now, the difference is he had a hell of a running game, and we don't know about the Buck running game. I liked what I saw against the Ravens, but Lee, it was an exhibition game. Let's be honest. I did like Rashad White squeezing out those extra yards with that power that I'm not used to seeing. But let's see what happens in Minneapolis. Again, I keep going back to one central point, Lee. The uncertainty surrounding this franchise right now, at this moment, nobody knows what to expect from these guys. Nobody.
Well, Ira, the commotion you're hearing in the background is all the Bucs fans applauding almost as loud as the last time you agreed to buy a round at Big Storm Beer. You said, what if the Bucs have a good season? And Bucs fans are finally someone's listening to us, you know? That is a wild card. And, you know, as Jason Light has been saying for months, hey, don't count us out. You know, this is a lousy division. So it's not outrageous to suggest that you know, what happens if the Bucs are 5-3? Like you said, that's very, very possible because this is a terrible division. And there's so much unknown about this team, we can't rule that out at all.
I don't think this Evans contract thing is going to be resolved, Steve, until after the season. That's all I'm saying.
Nor should it be, Ira. You let him play it out, and they'll get him a new deal. Or I know a lot of fans say, oh, they're not going to franchise him because it would be a $28 million cap hit, but I can't go there. I mean, they'd have to pay him, I think it's $23 million in cash, but the cap hit's higher because of the rules. I just can't say that, oh, that wouldn't happen. It doesn't make sense why you would even think that it wouldn't happen. It's just a little extra cap room, and like you said, so much is uncertain that nobody knows what the hell's going on. So the Bucks do have the leverage there on Evans, and of course, if you slap a guy with the tag, you can keep negotiating and all that. Sage, I wanted to ask you a couple of quick either-ors here. Just taking a peek at the Big Storm Brewing Company Clearwater menu, where you will be watching the game with fans on Sunday. If you have to pick, Ira, are you the kind of guy who goes with the onion ring basket or the tachos, which is a heaping bowl of golden tater tots smothered in mozzarella, beer, cheese, salsa, jalapenos, scallions, and chipotle ranch drizzle?
I'm not going with the drizzle, but I will say this. If somebody next to me orders it, I'm going to grab a few. You know me. You know me. I'm going to go with option A in that scenario. That's too much stuff on the tater tots for me, Steve. Too much.
All right. I guess my other one is, are you going with the buffalo shrimp tacos, or are you going with the barbecued pulled pork tacos?
Boy, that's a tough one.
Now, remember, the barbecued pulled pork tacos, they have those little fried onion, those little tangle things that are dripping all over it, those little onions.
I'm going with the buffalo shrimp, as long as it's not too tangy and not too hot. You know, some people, they can't get stuff hot enough. They want the hot sauce. I'm not going for that, Steve. I'm not wrecking my delicate abdomen. You know, I want a bay beer so I can wash down the buffalo shrimp tacos. That sounds good. That might be my first option, first of many. As I navigate through Sunday afternoon.
All right. I know you like the little crumbled blue cheese in there. Big Storm Brewing Company. Check out the menu, bigstormbrewery.com. All the tap rooms, you can see them there. Odessa, Orlando at the Amway Center, Cape Coral, Clearwater, Ybor City, of course, and in Odessa. Fun times ahead. Sunday, Sage rolls in about 11:45. Good times ahead. I think Rock Riley's coming out, Ira, but I'll confirm with Rock. We're going to have some fun out there. Sage,
Steve, I want to make one more quick point before you carry on.
Is this about honey mustard dressing?
Now, Lee, you're going to tell me it's premature, and you're right. It is premature. But here's one more quirky thing about the Mike Evans situation. Before the first pass has been thrown in the regular season, Lee, it's starting to look like wide receiver could be the strength of the team or a strength of the team. It's possible. Now, look, Trey Palmer hasn't caught an NFL pass. Like, we know that. And the rest of the guys are unproven beyond Godwin and Evans. But, Lee, I just want to throw that out there, that even with the Russell Gage injury, the Bucs, they might be well-stocked at wide receiver going down the line. And if Trey Palmer lives up to preseason hype, the Bucs might have something there.
Well, they're certainly deeper. There's no question about that. You know, Gage was the number three receiver both this year and last year. And we all know Gage, he struggled to get on the field he's obviously out for the year this year. So the Bucs' number three receiver, for all intents and purposes last year, was Scotty Miller. And Scotty Miller was basically still living off that beautiful touchdown catch in the NFC Championship game against the Packers. I can only think of one consequential catch that Scotty Miller had since that Packers game, since the NFC Championship. One catch I can think of, consequential. And now you have, you know, Trey Palmer's your number three receiver. And I think the Bucs are certainly deeper at receiver than they were last year. I'm not about to say, you know, one of these guys ought to be starting over Evans. I'm not that crazy. But they're certainly deeper and probably more dangerous. I'll take Trey Palmer all day long over Scotty Miller. As much as I like Scotty Miller, I got to be honest, he really didn't do squat since that NFC Championship game. So there's no doubt about it in my mind that the Bucs are stronger at receiver because they're deeper at receiver.
Zage Lee, I got to disagree. I just think that Trey Palmer, if he matches Russell Gage's numbers from last year, the Bucs will be really, really happy. So I'm not really sure how they're deeper. That part I don't get. If he ends up with 50 catches and 5 touchdowns and, you know, 500 yards or so, I think they'd be happy with that.
He might stretch the field, Steve, where Russell Gage is more of a possession guy. So it might be a little bit different in that respect, maybe.
They're deeper. Would you say Trey Palmer has good or better than Scotty Miller? Scotty Miller is basically a non-factor.
Well, I'm comparing him to Gage because that's the one-to-one. If number three versus number three, Gage missed 4 games last year. I just think if Trey Palmer misses 4 games and catches 50 balls, the Bucs would be real happy.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Steve, but he could average 13 or 14 yards a catch where Gage wasn't going to do that. He could.
Yeah, I understand where Steve's at, but once again, Trey Palmer or Scotty Miller?
No contest. No contest.
Yeah, I'd rather have Trey Palmer. I just think the number three to number three comparison is the other guy. But, I mean, we don't know what the other receivers are going to produce. The Devin Tompkins of the world, Perriman was a pretty good guy to have in reserve. The new offense and, you know, these guys may be much better suited, and Palmer certainly a wild card. I'd much rather have him than Scotty Miller, absolutely, who I think we saw what he was. He just didn't progress past his, his early success there.
Yeah, Steve, I just want to say that I think the Bucs have formulated their plan regarding Mike Evans, and I don't think any remarks from Evans or his agent in particular, who wants to praise Jason Light and Mike Greenberg, I don't think those remarks are going to change the Buck attitude in any way. Any backlash from fans, I don't think that's going to change anything either. The Bucks have talked about this amongst themselves, Lee, from ownership and Light, and Greenberg and Bowles and whoever. This is the way they're going to go, Lee. They're going to let Evans play out his contract, reassess it mid-season, and if things are going well, finish the year, and then make a decision at that point. I don't think any of this back and forth and stuff on Twitter is going to change the Buck attitude at all regarding Evans.
Do you think this is a good thing? Maybe that Todd Bowles is sitting back saying, wow, Mike Evans is going to come out with his hair on fire on opening day, and if Baker's smart, he's going to go up to Evans and say, hey, I'm with you, big fella, and we're going to tear it up this year, and I'm going to get you the ball, and everybody's going to bond and rally. Do you think there's some of that going on?
I think there could be some of that, Lee, because if things go well and Evans helps Baker Mayfield have a successful season, then I think that's in Evans' interest because I think he'll be taken care of at that point.
It sure looked like Evans may have had his best camp since being drafted. He was lights out. I know there's some people out there saying Evans is losing his legs. Well, if a guy lost his legs and looks that good, everybody ought to lose their legs.
Yeah, he looks healthy and ready to go, and I expect him and Godwin to have nice days in Minneapolis.
Sage, do you think Evans was legitimately hurt when they said he tweaked a groin, but he practiced all week, but then he didn't play in that preseason game? Do you think that was legitimate or not?
I do not think it was legitimate. I think at that point, Evans knew what was going to happen regarding his agent, regarding Twitter, and I think he took himself out of the picture. We'll see what happens later this week. It could be interesting when we get into that locker room.
All right, I got one more important Evans question for you. Sage, we're going to be coming back very quickly with a non-Evans podcast. This was all Mike because, hey, look, the guy's a franchise legend. It needed lots of perspective, needed the dust to settle, and here we are dialing in on it as the season approaches. Bill Curry Ford. They are always dialed in. BillCurryFord.com. Get there a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. The Giant is coming back. Their massive redesign, reimagined dealership. They're open now, of course, but the new Giant is coming in about 6-7 weeks or so. It's going to be fantastic. We'll get an update from General Manager Sean Sullivan, or you can get one from Sean himself by reaching out directly, and he'll help you with anything you need. Florida's Elite Restoration. If you call them and you need assistance at your property, call them 24/7. They'll come out, give you a free evaluation, and mention Joe Bucks Fan or Ira Kaufman, which people have been doing. Ira, Josh, let me know. That means if you need their services, if you need what they offer to restore your property, you'll get $500 back or $500 off, depending on what you're doing. Maybe that's money for your deductible. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. More storms are probably coming, unfortunately. We'll cross our fingers there. Sage, as it relates to Mike Evans, Lee, I want you to weigh in here because you've got sage wisdom like Ira.
No, not like Ira. No. Ira's the veteran here.
Yeah, nobody wants to be as old as Ira. It's just everybody's against that. All right, last one here, Ira. Mike Evans, and you know he's been obviously working with his agent. They decided to inject this silliness here. Do you think Evans is going to come out somehow and blame the media? Maybe he's not going to talk to the media. Maybe he's going to be pissed off by the directions it went. Maybe that's why he kind of lashed out with his own statement saying, hey, I don't want this and that. And it's been, do you think he's going to end up blaming the media here and shut down, or he's going to maybe be nice to the media and you know try to get his message through them all season? How do you think this goes?
I think he'll address it once. I don't think he'll do it all season. I think he'll address it once, Lee, and he might preface any statements he makes about the contract situation by saying this is the only time I'm going to talk about it this year, which I think's the prudent thing to do, the classy thing to do. By doing that, Lee, and taking care of it right up front, he can then say for the rest of the season, I'm focused on being the best player I can be for the 23 Buccaneers. But I think he'll talk about it once, Lee, and then move on.
I would be very surprised if Mike Evans lashed out at the media saying he blew this out of proportion. That's not him. That's not him at all. If anything, I would almost expect him to, hey, I didn't want this to blow out of proportion. You know, I just need to get this off my chest. I'm not trying to make enemies. That's what I think of anything. If I had to put my money on it, I would expect him to say that. But he caught a hell of a lot more flack when Deshaun Jackson got in his head. And I'm going to freak people out by this, and I'm not trying to get people freaked out. Remember when he kneeled for the national anthem? How people went mental?
Yeah.
That's bigger than this. And he weathered the storm, and you know, he didn't call anybody out, really, that I can remember. So I think Mike will be Mike. And if I had to lay money on it, I'd almost expect him to apologize rather than blaming the media. That just doesn't sound like Mike to me.
I'm not really sure, Ira. So I'll leave it at that. You guys had good answers there. I have to think about that. And I will listen to the podcast again and ponder it myself. Ira, you have a final thought before we get out of here and come back soon?
Boy, it seems like we haven't had a football game around here in forever. I think this is a great matchup, this Minneapolis thing. You know, I think they're an average team. I know they're coming off a 13-win season. I don't think, all things considered, this is a bad opening game for the Bucs. They got a good offense, Minnesota. I don't know about their defense. I think Mayfield can get off to a very good start. We'll talk more about it at the end of the week, but I don't think this is a bad matchup for Tampa.
I keep telling Jason Light he's got to get his pool ready for Sunday. He doesn't want to hear it. All right, Sage, we'll talk to you soon.